We might have to get some theme music from someone somewhere. Because if this super secret deal goes down, we might have to get some theme music.
Yep.
Cold opens. Not the best idea. Welcome to the Soderstrom bubble. I am Scotty Waz. That is Jen, NHL history girl.
Yep.
Jayco, as I call you.
Melissa.
Melissa. Melissa. That's why we were. They scored 10 to nothing. It's called the slaughter rule, Melissa. Oh, Coach McGurk. Today's episode, I don't know what the hell we're going to do. We're going to talk about
our brothers.
Other brothers' team.
Yeah.
Some other Stanley Cup stories. Also, taking your questions that you proposed to us, one of which also sparked the brothers' conversation.
Hmm.
So. And unlike PK Subban, my breath stinks. It's terrible. It smells of cookies and Coke. By the way, I want them, because apparently they asked Pecorini about it, too, at the end of the game.
He's like, yeah, he's great. He flosses.
Chris Johnson's like, what is going on? I want this to be a huge thing that frustrates the Penguins. We're not talking about his breath!
Well, it's already...
You call him something else. You know what we mean.
It's already annoying the old school media guys like Duhasek and...
Why? This is great psychology.
Well, they don't see it. They see it as like a fluff thing. And I'm like, no, it's rivalry. When's the last time you had player rivalry like this? Like what Boston Habs?
Like player against player rivalry?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good question.
I mean, you had that during the
Battle of Alberta days, you could say.
Yeah. I mean,
to an extent, Alfredson versus everyone in the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
During the early 2000s.
Yeah. Mikko Koivu had one with Alex Burrows.
And I mean, yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, this is nice, because it's guys who, NHL wants to promote players over teams, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
You talk about bad breath, and the people are, oh, it's not a pervert.
Yeah, I mean, they're trash-talking each other. What's not to like and understand about that?
And that's going to frustrate. I mean, hell, Gino Malkin's already throwing sticks at Nashville fans one game in. God knows what he's going to do if this thing goes extended.
He threatened to go all, what's his name from the slap shot? With the I'll carve your eyes out.
Oh, Dr. Hook McCracken.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, this is great. Like, it's one of those things where I expect the Penguins to flip out, and I want them to flip out, because it's great.
Yes.
The squeaky clean Penguins just don't have all this squeaky and cleanness and yelling
they were really
Swedish epithets at people.
And they were really acting sort of like, I don't know, punks, I guess? Like,
oh, really? Now you're noticing that? I've noticed that since 91.
Well, last night's game specifically, there was a lot of, like, chicken shit.
Oh, yeah. No, it was chicken shit Swede stuff. Like, Hornquist got into it, and Hagelin got into it. Like it was Swede. The problem is that Mattias Ekholm is that Red Deer Swedish guy, where he's big, bulky, has a heavy shot, has a heavier punch.
Yeah.
Like, it's hilarious to me, this whole ordeal.
There's a lot of cross-checking and a lot of just, like, little chicken shit.
Penguin stuff. Just say penguin stuff. It's chicken shit penguin stuff, which I've known since 91 that this bullshit fan base.
You know, that always bothered me about the Penguins, because they had Lemieux back in the day complaining that this was a garage league with all the hooking and grabbing and tripping and clutching and blah, 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 blah. But you look at look at some of the players his team has employed. Like,
McSorley was on that team.
Yeah.
Rob Brown was on that team.
Yeah.
You gotta knock the fire out.
I mean, it's okay for us to do it, but it's not okay for anyone else to do it, you know?
It's
I mean,
the whole do as I say, not as I do
situation. Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, you really don't have any room to talk here, Mario.
He couldn't get away with the shit that he got in the QMJHL either. Like, he couldn't get that open ice that he's used to, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. And their fan base. So just retweeting every mad Penguins fan out there.
Yes.
And he's talking about how great PK Subban is. They're like, that's not great. It should get out of hockey. It should get out of hockey. Go to hell, Penguins fans. Enough of you. You trash talk as much as the other people.
Yeah. I don't know. Penguins fans are a unique breed.
Well, yeah.
I guess you could say that about any fan base, but...
True, but the Penguins fans seem to be much more unique than anybody else. I mean, there's places where teams can see their faults.
Yeah.
And then the Penguins fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we got a question here from Cassie saying, in your opinion, the most underrated thing happening about the Crosby-Malkin friendship? I don't know. I could say something very... It's Pride Month. I'm not going to say it. But yeah. I could say something really bad here because there's nothing... I don't care about that. This isn't Tumblr. I'm not going to answer a question like that.
No, it's...
Now, if you tell me fuck, marry, kill, then I'll give you three options. Give me three options. You give me an FMK, I'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about their friendship, but...
I don't care.
I don't care either.
Yeah.
Like, neither one of them is particularly interesting people.
Not historical either. Like, it's not a... Who cares?
Like, Tom Wilson and what's his name, who are roommates.
Mike Latta.
Latta. Yeah. They had, like, four giant bottles of ketchup because they're like, we discovered Costco and we love ketchup. And I'm like, that's cute. But...
I'm more interested in with Crosby Kunitz.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, hell, he got Kunitz into the Canadian Olympic team, for Christ's sake. So, was it Kunitz or was somebody else?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Well,
I don't pay attention to the
history. No, I get it.
Thanks.
No problem. that's a terrible question. Yuck.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's not the worst one I've ever gotten, though.
No, I'm sure.
So, I get some pretty strange ones.
Mm. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But it is Stanley Cup time as we record this. Game 3 happened last night. It is 2-1 Pangs as they... Go into game 4 in Nashville. That was a fun crowd in Nashville.
That was insane.
Some people were like, oh, it's like a college crowd. Yeah, college crowds are fun.
Yeah,
college crowds can be really fun.
Yeah. And last night I was saying, you know, the college chants, I dig it. Mm. And people were yelling, like, that's not creative. Those belong in college. Like,
why? Just because you live in a place where your market has fans sitting on their hands doesn't mean everyone else has to do it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
This is what hockey should be, an exciting atmosphere.
But I like it because it's a signature thing. Like, that's Nashville's thing now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Columbus has the cannon. That's their thing, you know? Leafs fans are just dead-ass quiet.
And nobody shows up within the first 10 minutes of the period and they get to the Platinums.
Yeah, and, you know...
Caps fans choking in the second to contemplating, you know, helplines.
The Bruins fans with the insults and the, you know, fuck yous and the throwing popcorn at other fans and, you know, like
being
that's...
Being Boston.
Like, yeah. that's their thing. And then, you know, Philly has their high-strung, insulting, throwing thing.
Philly has their signs. Philly's all about their signs.
Yeah, Philly's about signs, yeah. So they each have their thing, and that's fine. I'm cool with that. And you don't have to be creative with your chants. Like, you... It's nice if you are, but you don't have to be.
I like that they're all in unison. Like,
yeah!
You want to bring a fan base together, have 16,000, 17,000 chant, it's all your fault to Matt Murray.
Yeah, and, you know, given the choice of what they did with, like, the Fang Fingers and the, like, I'd much rather have the college chants than the Fang Fingers thing, because the fan chants are much more visceral. Like, hearing 20,000 people chant in unison, it's all your fault.
It is disconcerting. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's a much more...
could trigger a memory from when it's Pee-wee days.
Yeah.
And M.A. Fleury. M.A. Fleury, if he was in net, Jesus, that would be bad.
Yeah.
That'd be terrible.
Can you imagine if they did that back in the era of, like, Dan Cloutier or...
He'd go after the fans. He'd go full Milbury. He'd climb the boards. That's psychopath Dan Cloutier.
Or Alex Ald, or... Ald wasn't that terrible,
wasn't fragile enough, like...
Oh, that's true, I suppose,
He didn't really not think of a sample. He was kind of cool, calm, collected. He played for a crappy Florida team, and he still somehow managed to turn out somewhat decent with that team.
He just tended to collapse at the wrong moments.
Sure. Well, most goalies do that from the Vancouver system.
Salo would have, he would have taken on any of them in a fist fight.
Cloutier, you mean?
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, no, Salo was the one that turtled.
Yeah.
And also, Salo would have let in a shot from center ice with Belarusian. Shout out, Chatty P. That's still one of my favorite stories. Like, we do a pick 'em segment on the Faceoff Hockey Show. This is in 2002.
Yeah.
He's like, Sweden's going all the way. And then the Belarusian shot happened. And he's like, figures. That same year, he also lost ground because he picked the St. John's Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
And they were in a blizzard and didn't play for 2 weeks.
Oh.
Like, and he picked them. He's just like, well, of course, a blizzard's going to happen. And he picked the Columbus Stars, and they folded up mid-season. So
keep him far, far away from any team I want?
Essentially. Or just, you know, have him root for the other team.
Yeah.
So.
Here's $20.
All right, so some Stanley Cup fun stories. We're in the Stanley Cup kind of year. We'll start getting working on draft stuff the next couple weeks when that starts going.
I have some wacky stories for that, too.
Wacky stories! And also, we'll get into the art of the expansion draft trade, because there's plenty of those backroom room deals that you can... A lot of people are thinking it's going to happen now with George McPhee.
Yeah, well, there are a lot that have happened in the past, mm-hmm. and then they tried to put rules in place that said you can't do this, and you know it still didn't really work.
Like, who cares?
Yeah, well, you know how the NHL is about rules, and you know. There's a reason they call it the No Fun League. I mean,
no, that's the NFL.
All right. No, yeah, sorry.
NFL means not for long if you're going to make that call. Buddy Ryan, great line.
I haven't had my coffee or anything today.
Fine. You've had Powerade. You're all right. I also say Brooks Orpik. I've made this prediction before, and I've made this aloud, and I'm
streaming. You're really hoping on this one.
I am finding a way to get a backroom deal to get Brooks Orpik picked by the Golden Knights, and then have a backroom deal that includes Dmitry Orlov leaving. Not that I don't like Dmitry Orlov, I just don't like his agent, and I don't think that he is going to be... He's been on one-year deals for so long, they're not committing to him long-term. I don't feel that they think he's a part of their core.
Yeah.
You got to get Kuznetsov signed, you got to get some other guys signed. I would pick Nate Schmidt over Dmitry Orlov. I think Nate Schmidt's a little bit more valuable, he's a little bit more... He can adjust his game as he needs to see fit, he can take long breaks off in the press box and still come out fresh. Like, I think that he is much more valuable. Orlov, he's a good player, good skill guy. There's too many times where I've seen him, he derped it up in transition game. So, regardless, speaking of derping it up, Stanley Cup stories. So one story I wanted to get you out of you is we talked about Charlie Gardner last week, about the captaincy. Yeah. There was much more to that onion that we did not peel about Charlie Gardner.
Yeah, no. Gardner, okay, so Gardner is the goalie captain, and he had a really bad tonsil infection. And for whatever reason, he didn't have them removed. And I think in part it was because of the season. Like, he didn't want to take that time out and possibly lose his job and all these things. But it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And it was to the point where during games, he would be basically just like hanging onto the net in order to stand up. He was seeing black spots, like giant black spots.
Which, as a goalie, not a good thing to see random black spots coming at you.
Yeah, no. He was trying not to, like, pass out during games. He was having, like, momentary blackouts. Like, it was the symptoms of uremic poisoning. Like, that's, like, it was so bad his kidneys were shutting down, and that was the poisons, like, the toxins moving through his system. So he won the cup, and he was horribly, horribly sick. Funny thing, side story to this, he made a bet with one of the other players that if they won the cup, this other player would have to wheel Charlie around the inner loop in a wheelbarrow. And there's a photo of it. So, you know, they did that. There was a fun little side bet. It was very public and, you know, happy.
But you know, Anson Lalonde of the Boston Globe did not like this newfangled stuff of wheeling people around in the wheelbarrow. He said, "This is not a new tradition I want, sir."
And so afterwards, Charlie went home to, I think he's from Winnipeg, and to his family, and took up his regular off-season life, his regular off-season job, and, you know, helping out around the house. And he had tennis lessons, and he had singing lessons. He was a singer. And he had a couple of minor operations to try and take out, like, pieces of the tonsils, but he didn't want them taken out completely. It was very odd. And you have to remember, this is before penicillin. So the drugs he was taking was, like, sulfa drugs and that sort of thing. Like, there was no real treatment aside from surgery and, you know, hope, I guess?
I guess my question is, why not take it out at one full, especially in the off season. Like, why wouldn't you want to have him taken out completely?
Yeah, that was my question. I'm thinking he felt
it was too much of recovery time, or would take away from his singing. Is a weird thing to me. Like,
yeah, singers are very like strange about their throats and the beliefs they have.
Well, and not only that, it's like you would like even with that, you would try to struggle through, knowing that that's probably making things much worse on you. Like,
yeah,
it's hard. It's almost as hard headed as hockey players in that I'll play with a shoulder injury or I'll play with a knee injury.
Yeah, I think part of it was he didn't really trust doctors a whole lot.
That's fair then. In that time, that's fair.
Yeah, like he was having convulsions and all of these things, and he was willing to have like small treatments, but he did not want to have surgery. So I'm guessing he was scared of having surgery for whatever reason.
And being out for a prolonged amount of time or having his vocal cords. I can see that, I guess.
Yeah. But then so one day he goes to a singing lesson and he collapses. And he goes into a coma. He had a fever of about 102, 103.
But that's something that was common amongst him, right? Like
even during games, he'd be playing with a fever of 102. It was ridiculous. They had doctors on standby, like in the dressing room for him, because he kept playing. Mm-hmm. So he collapses. He goes into a coma and he died. He was 29 years old and he died of a brain hemorrhage. Brought on by the tonsil infection.
Everything affecting his brain. Yeah. I'm sure, like, blacking out and everything like that didn't help the oxygen going to his brain either.
Right. Well, and then you're playing in these pads and you're sweating a lot and you're, you know.
Especially in that age where there's, like, no unnatural refrigeration kind of thing.
Yeah, and he's playing in these horsehair leather, like.
Straight up heaviest pads.
Straight up leather pads, you know. Packed with deer hair and like cork, mm-hmm. you know,
all the stuff that is as heavy as it can be.
Yeah, so that's not going to help you either. But yeah, that's the sad story of Charlie Gardner. He won a Stanley Cup and died two months later.
Two Vezinas, charter member of the Hockey Hall of Fame as well.
Yeah.
So nothing else. There's that. But, you know, he played for the Blackhawks, and the Blackhawks, I believe...
are a whole other wacky story.
The worst team to win a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, their record was 14-25-9 for the season, which is a win percentage of 3-something, if I can vaguely do math.
Yeah.
They were much better at home than they were on the road. They were 10-10-4 at home, 4-15-5 on the road. Their goals for was 97. It was like lowest or second lowest in the league. Like, you get the idea. They were just kind of all over the map.
Sure.
Not great team. The owner had this idea of trying to make an All-American team, which in 1938, which was pretty bold vision.
Oh yeah, you're gonna take some hits there.
Yeah, and so he put together a team that, you know, should have been better than it was. They had some really good players on there, some future Hall of Famers, and they just could not get it together. So anyway, this 37-38 season, they stink it up. They just barely squeak into the playoffs, and then they start winning. Like, whatever it was about the regular season apparently didn't bother them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get hot at the right time kind of thing. It's playoffs. The playoff is old as time.
Yeah, because in the first round, they beat the Habs in 3 games. And then they beat the New York Americans, winning that series 2-1. And then, like, they just kept, like, dominating. It was kind of ridiculous. And so, along the way, their goalie, Mike Karakas, breaks a toe. Can't play. So, the rule at the time is, you can have a substitute goalie, but there's a catch. The goalie has to be agreed upon by both team general managers. And
was it the Rangers?
It was it was the Leafs.
Ah.
The Leafs GM said, there was actually quite a good pro goalie in the stands, and he offered his services. And the Blackhawks said, yeah. And the Leafs said, hell no.
Fair enough. I can understand that.
Yeah, and so they went back and forth and back and forth, and the Blackhawks ended up using a guy named Alfie Moore. Alfie Moore is sort of a legend. Like, if you Google his name, there's a bunch of stories about how he came in this one game. He arrived drunk to this one NHL game that he played and won it. And there's, you know, yes and no. But anyway, they had another goalie who was supposed to play, and his name was Paul Goodman. And he didn't get to the game on time. So they said, well, what can we do? Who can we get? And they settled on this guy, Alfie Moore, who was a minor league goalie. And the story is that the team went to Alfie's house and said, hello, Mrs. Moore, where's your husband? We'd like him to play an NHL playoff game tonight. And she said, well, he's down at the corner bar. And so they go to the corner bar, and they say, hey, where's Alfie? And they say, oh, he's probably at the bar down the street. So they just, you know, the legend is that they bar to bar to bar to bar, and then they find him, and they say, hi, we want you to play for us tonight. And he goes, well, okay, and, you know, sort of falls off the stool, and they pour him into the cab and shove him in a shower and then shove him into the game. That's mostly a legend. It's a great legend, but it's mostly a legend. Yes, they found him at the pub. No, he wasn't drunk.
He was singing.
Yeah.
As goalies are wont to do for the Blackhawks.
Yeah. He was just at the corner pub hanging out, chatting, you know. And at that time, the corner pub was a social spot just as much as it was a drinking spot. So, yeah, it's a fun legend. But so he won the game. And then the NHL said, he's not eligible to play. You can't use Alfie Moore anymore.
Well, isn't that because Goodman was actually showed up kind of thing, and that was their designated replacement goalie?
Yeah. Well, and also the Leafs manager lodged a complaint that had something to do with him actually being
eligible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of...
A lot of 1930s red tape.
Yeah, a lot of 1930s backroom politics happening here. So, okay, well, if he's not eligible to play, then how does this game count? Because, you know, he'd played the game and won. And they ruled that the victory would count, but they just couldn't use Alfie anymore, which is fine, because, you know, they had Paul Goodman waiting in the wings. And then Mike Caracas came back with a steel cap on his skate, so he could play. And that was that. And they won. Second Stanley Cup in team history. And the NHL was so certain that they were not going to win, they didn't even bother bringing the cup to the game.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it was 2-1 at that point. Like, it was best of 5. Like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like,
They were just certain that Chicago was not going to win, and they didn't bother showing up with the cup.
Oh, God. Thank God Twitter wasn't around. They would have flipped their shit.
Yeah.
Getting into their wacky play. Because I got a couple things before we... Or at least one thing before we get to our brother's stories.
Okay.
If there's any other... Stanley Cup funness that you can think of.
Yeah. Well, there's the Bobby Bonds story. You know, it's the pretty famous playing on a broken leg story. So he took a slap shot to the ankle from Gordie Howe, which, if you've ever seen Gordie Howe's upper body strength, you would say, ow. So he knew something was wrong with his leg, and they carried him off on a stretcher. You've probably seen that. My favorite quote about that, though, is they interviewed Bond a couple years ago, and he's like, yeah, those old shin pads weren't shit.
Yeah, it's basically pillows strapped to your legs.
Yeah, basically. And so he gets up off the stretcher, and gets the like the lidocaine shots and whatever, and goes on and scores the goal, and it's the winning goal in overtime. And then the next 2 days, he disappeared. Team couldn't find him. They thought they knew where he was, but they couldn't find him. And reporters couldn't find him. And, like, nobody knew where he was, basically, but, like, his wife. And he had decided on the train that he knew his leg was broken and they weren't going to let him play. So he just took off and he hit out a friend's farm and just put his leg up and kept icing it and, you know, had a couple good meals, kept icing it. And then he didn't show up for the game until about 5 minutes before the game started. And he showed up in his equipment and he's like, all right, let's go. And the team was like, well, we can't pull him off the ice now. So for that game seven, they just kept taping up his leg, like, really tightly. And then they left little spots where they could get, where they could shoot, like, Novocaine into his leg, like, every 10, 15 minutes for the entire game.
I'm sure that was great for scar tissue.
Yeah. So that, well, the reason why he decided on the train that he was going to disappear is because he knew his leg was broken. And the team hadn't taken an x-ray yet. So he figured as long as the team doctors couldn't get their hands
on him.
You
can't find me, you can't sit me.
Exactly. Yeah. So he just disappeared.
It's one of those legendary stories that today people would question. Like, oh, this is a hockey. LeBron James can't play with twisted ankle. Yeah, no, it's stupid too, dummy. It's harrowing, but it's also dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I get wanting that to be part of that team and to contribute and to win and get the cup, because you know this might be your only chance in your entire career. I get that, but at the same time, 15 years from now, you know, what about your body? Like, what about your functionality? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be able to walk 15 feet without hurting? Sure. You know, so that's the balance, and that's always the question. But the part of that story that people usually don't know is the, you know, he disappeared for 2 days.
Interesting.
Yep. So, and I have a couple other stories, but, you know, things like Maurice Richard chipping his teeth on the cup. You know, little things. The Habs leaving the cup on the roadside.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Tell that story before we get to...
Well, they were having like a reception, like a big party.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of the players were in a car together with the cup, and they were on their way to the party, and they get a flat tire. Now, this is the 1920s, so changing a flat tire isn't necessarily the easiest thing on these kind of like carriage type cars.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all get out and they put the Stanley Cup down on the sidewalk. And they change the tire, and they all pile back into the car and drive off. Well, then they get to the party, and people go, so where's the trophy? We want to see the trophy. And they went, and went driving back to the street, and it was still sitting on the sidewalk.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. During one of the Stanley Cup parades, they always go down St. Catherine Street in Chicago. So this would have been '60. So it was one of the parades in the '60s, and they're all going down St. Catherine Street, and there's a wedding going on at the same time, in the big cathedral that's on St. Catherine's, and all of a sudden the doors go flying open, and out comes the bride and the groom, and the whole wedding, and they go running up to the car, and there's like pictures of the bride like shaking hands with Jean Béliveau. Like, they interrupted their wedding to run outside to the cup parade.
Why not?
There during I think it was Bruce Norris's years running the Red Wings, if they won the cup, he didn't send champagne. Or if he did, he sent, like, one bottle or two bottles, and it was warm, and it was, you know,
yeah,
like just the cheap out sort of
the garbage you would expect from the owner in that day.
Yeah, yeah. The Blackhawks owner would do the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, he did the same thing up until like 97. So
yeah, yeah. So yeah, it was quite the time for weird little parties and weird celebrations and.
All right. Well, we'll get more to that next week because it could be the end of the Stanley Cup by the time we get there.
That's true.
So, but I want to bring up. So we've been following this NHL Greatest Teams thing.
Oh my God! Yes.
They have revealed numbers 2 through 7 or 2 through 10.
Okay.
They have not revealed number 1 yet.
Of course not.
Because drama. So 10. We'll start from 10, go up to 2, because that's how people do list.
Sure.
Number 10, the 2001-2002 Detroit Red Wings, which you could say probably of the modern era, the close you're going to get to living legend status with players on that team, with Luke Robitaille, Dom Hasek, Brendan Shanahan, I think Brett Hull was on that team, Steve Yzerman. I mean, like, all the who's who of people on that. I mean, young players, too, and that, so it's Chelios, like, this is his 80th Stanley Cup. So just a bevy of everyone there. So, 10. They're number 10.
Okay.
Number 9, the 1983-84 Edmonton Oilers. The first of their dynasty, I believe. Which I was going to say only team, but they're not the only team to win a Stanley Cup. I'm the WHA. First to win a Stanley Cup. Out of the first team to win a Stanley Cup from the WHA times. Like just so many guys on that team. Gretzky, Anderson, like Messier, and Lowe, and Lindsman, and all kinds of crazy crap there. I'm surprised they're so low. Grant Fuhr and Neth, I mean.
Yeah, they were a really dominant team.
77-78 Montreal Canadiens. Lost only 10 regular season games.
Yeah.
And they're 8th.
Yeah,
eighth.
That makes no sense to me, but okay.
7, 1982-83 Islanders, last of the dynasty. You know, I think probably one of the better teams because he finally figured, you know, it was the maturity of everything. Billy Smith and Drouchier and
it was
Bossy, and they figured it all out.
Well, and plus that was the year they beat the Oilers.
Yes, that was the year.
Because
that was the year that they kind of passed the torch after that. It's like, all right, now it's your guys' turn.
Yep.
This team, God, this is amazing. It's so low. The 97-98 Detroit Red Wings. The Russian Five was in that team. Mm-hmm. Chris Osgood's first cup.
Mm-hmm.
This is also the summer after the car crashes.
Yeah, so it's got that magical, happy ending.
Yeah, emotional feel to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, first team to go back-to-back ever since. Also, marks the last time a team has gotten swept in the Stanley Cup Finals. Thank you, Esa Tikkanen. Like, open net. Like, in a music video, he missed the open net.
Yeah.
He missed an open net in a Finnish rap video. How can someone do that? It's choreographed. Whatever. I'm surprised that team's so low, too, because that team was a dominant team as well in their era. Number 5, 86-87 Oilers. Meh.
No,
The only big thing about that is how great Hextall was in that playoff.
Well, I think the other reason people remember that one so nostalgically is because it's the last one with the Oilers with Gretzky.
Was it, or were they win in 88?
I know, you're right.
Yeah, they won the next year.
Yeah, they won the next
year. I thought that too. I'm just like, oh, it's the last Gretzky. And they're like, no, he had one more year there.
Yeah.
Because he got traded the summer of 88. Yep. But don't worry, they're number 4, the 87-88 Oilers. So back-to-back teams, just...
No.
That we just gave a rationale for that. The 76-77 Canadiens are number 3. Went 12-2 in the playoffs. Went 68-12 in the regular season.
Yes.
How they're not number 1. How they're not number 1, I'll never know. Do you want to make a guess who number 2 is? Greatest teams of all time. Do you want to make a guess who number 2 is?
I really want the answer to be the 89 Flames, but I know it's probably not.
Give me a guess.
Well, I just said I want it to be the 89 Flames.
Oh, that's your guess?
Yes.
Well, if you guessed the 1992 Pittsburgh Penguins, you would be correct. Second best team of all time is the 92 Penguins. And don't tell me Penguins fans aren't goddamn biased, because this is horse shit.
Yeah,
they
no.
shouldn't even be on this list.
They should be where the 78 Habs are.
They should be number 11. They should be out of the top 10. This is why fan voting stinks in the All-Star game and for greatest teams and greatest players list. You can't tell me that that 92 team was better than any Habs team during the Dynasty, than any Islanders team during the Dynasty, than any Oilers team during the Dynasty, or any of the Red Wings teams in the 90s.
Yeah, no.
You cannot tell me that. You cannot debate me on that and make me see your side and not call you a fry-eating-on-sandwich bullshit asshole. Because that's stupid. It's garbage.
Yes, it really is.
God, put some fries on your sandwich, and I bet you I know what the hell number one's going to be.
The 91 Penguins?
No.
What?
It's going to be the goddamn, it's going to be the 2009 Penguins because Sidney Crosby won the Stanley Cup for the first time.
Sure.
You fucking watch, and that's going to happen. And I'm going to be upset, and I'm going to be setting tables on fire at the draft.
That's okay, I'll be with you. I'll just be out there with like a bullhorn, like, attention, people!
Christ's sake. Look, yeah. Penguins fans, you're passionate, and that can be somewhat admirable. You're also lunatics, too. You live in a dead steel town. You have too many bridges, too many rivers. Not enough cabs. Too many fries on sandwiches. Eat me. Sick of this. For Manny Brothers. Ugh. Ugh, dude, just get fries on the side. Like you can. It's all gonna come out the same. So long, yeah. Don't you know? Savor it together. Don't savor it together.
Yeah.
Separate it. Like this. Like the offspring. Keep them separated.
Be like Mario Lemieux. He doesn't order his sandwiches with. He orders his fries and his sandwiches separate, and then he orders no fries when he's training, so.
I was going to say something else.
I know, that's why I kept going.
So number one doesn't say when they're going to be unveiled. No way in hell in the 90s. Bullshit. I still can't believe that. Like.
And I was going to say, is there some recency bias? But no, because not... 2002 was closer, like.
Yeah.
97 was closer. 98
was closer.
98 was closer. Like,
how is that possible? Like, they're not even that great of a... I don't remember them.
No?
I don't remember that team. Like, I don't know if that's the North Stars year or the Blackhawks year. It's the Blackhawks
year. That's the Blackhawks year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's how unrememberable this team was. Oh, because they had LeBeau and Yager and Cokehead Kevin Stevens?
The only reason I remember 91 was the North Stars year, 92 was Blackhawks year, is because 91 was the season I first started watching.
Mm.
So, yeah, and I just remember feeling so bad for John Casey.
Well, that becomes a trend in life.
Beaupre and, you know, like...
It becomes a trend in life as you just go down the line.
Yeah.
John Casey gets scored on by Yzerman in 98, or no, 97, in Game 7 at overtime. And Upper Deck, whoever did the photo of that shot, they have a shot of, there's a card of Steve Yzerman just after releases it, and you could see John Casey's set in the background. It was like minutes before it went over his shoulder, and he just did a haphazard, shrug with his blocker side. It's a hell of a shot, though. Like, that's, you know, I hated the Red Wings, but goddamn, like, that shot was on point.
Yeah.
So, you can't. It's 34 points in 15 games for the Mew. Who gives a shit? Annoying. Annoying. Annoying is what it is. Annoying when you see other great teams and the 92 Penguins are number two.
Yeah. No.
That's region bias is what it is.
Yep.
If it comes out to be the 2016 Penguins, oh God, would I just... I think everyone would kind of... This is the 100 greatest players, including six players who still play, two Blackhawks, and no Geno Malkin. Because as much as I detest the Penguins, I like Geno Malkin.
Yeah.
God damn. Whatever. That's that. All right, so last week we proposed haphazardly. Why don't we make a list of all the other brothers?
There's so many of them.
So many.
Steven Gionta.
Is this you're going to name off your team?
I don't know. I'm just yelling names.
Okay, you're just yelling names. Because I have my team right here.
Kevin Hatcher.
I didn't include any of the Hatchers because I thought both of them were.
Both of them were pretty
successful.
Both of
them had stalwart careers. I'm talking about careers that just never took off.
Fedorov.
He's on my list.
Yeah.
Just stop saying names and say your team. You're going to ruin this whole bit.
No, I don't really have a team per se. Just, you know, a couple of players.
I got, okay.
Like Fedorov, Not Neil, not Aaron.
Paul.
Paul Rotten. Oh, what's his name? I didn't write my list down, so. Marcel Gok.
Gotch.
Gotch. Gotch.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I kind of went back and forth on the Foligno's.
The new Foligno's?
Yeah.
I can't. It's too recent for me.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know.
I kind of went just only retired players because it's too hard. Like, it's easy to say Dougie Hamilton over Freddie Hamilton. Like,
yeah.
That's simple, but...
Well, and then you have the obvious ones like Dave Dryden.
The only tandem of goaltenders that was like, yeah, the other... Because, you know, Dan Cloutier was part of the brothers, but his brother was a right wing.
Yeah, and Biron.
Biron. He's not on my list. His brother is. I got Matthew Biron on my list.
Yep.
All right, so I had a goalie, which is Dave Dryden, three defensemen, and nine forwards.
Okay.
So I said Matthew Biron, which to Twitter follower and good guy Ole Kavasha. I don't think it's the real
Ole Kavasha.
I don't think it is.
But he's a good guy.
He's a good chap. Yeah, he asked who is the other Biron in this case, because Matthew was before Martin in terms of Islanders. I'm like, yeah, I think it's still Matthew Biron is still.
Still Matthew.
Because he played with the Sabres before he played with the Islanders. Let's just not think that they come to the Islanders, they're a rookie.
Yeah.
Though they should be. I got Marty Howe.
Yeah.
Because Mark, Hall of Famer.
Yep, Marty just sort of
Marty
faded out.
Marty was there. He had the photo op with his dad in the WHA, and that was that.
Yeah, it's like he wasn't bad, but he just decided that he wanted to do something else. So
yeah. My other recent brother is Richie Regeer.
I had forgotten about him completely.
Robin Regeer's brother. Oh. Two players, two brothers, the only two sets of brothers born in the Southern Hemisphere.
Huh.
Because Robin was born in Brazil, Ricky was born in Indonesia, because their parents were missionaries from I don't know which religion. I can look it up, but I'm too lazy right now.
That's what Google's for.
Exactly. So, my forwards.
Mm-hmm.
He lucked out, I think, in life. I think he was better off.
Mm.
But on the list and talent-wise for hockey, he was not. Valerie Bure.
Yeah.
Like, he was a guy who everyone thought he came out of Spokane, guns a-blazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just couldn't get... Like, he was good, but he wasn't great.
Well, and then he had all those knee injuries.
Yeah.
So...
He had a long career, but he was always Pavel's brother.
Yeah.
Brother of the Russian Rocket. Like, yep. He was always that guy. I mean, he married up. He married up big. So...
Well, you know the story of how they first learned English?
Mm.
Watching MTV and, like, Full House and shows like
and
that.
Look at him now. Look at him now. He's watching Full House all day or day. Hallmark movies, too. Jeff Larmer.
Good one.
Steve's brother played with Steve and the Blackhawks 83-86. Had 158 games of experience in the NHL as well. So there's that. Former Colorado Rocky as well before they moved to Jersey. Hooray.
Oh, I got lectured the other day about how the Rockies are a baseball team and I should know better.
To be fair... The Rockies existed for 2 years and no one gave a shit. So I can see where people would forget about them in a lexicon.
Yeah.
But if they're Devils fans, they should know better.
Yeah.
And if they're like 12-year-olds, I'll give them a pass.
Yeah, sure.
Give me Kip Miller, who was the least successful of the Miller brothers of Kevin and Kelly and Kip.
Yeah.
Kip only had like 400 games played. Played with, I think, Kelly in Washington. I know Kip played for the Caps at one point. I don't know if it was together or not.
No.
I think it was like towards the later years during the time where Matt Yeats was a starting goaltender and Jason Doig was on the top pairing. Those are some lean years. Alain Lemieux. Mario's brother.
Yeah.
And it put Jocelyn or Claude because I think they both had their decent.
Yeah, they both had a good decent run.
But yeah, Alain Lemieux was there. Not much else. Former Baltimore Skipjack Alain Lemieux.
Dennis Hull on your list?
No. Mm. I thought Dennis Hull had a decent run. Not as good as Bobby, but you couldn't be, because Bobby was one of the first superstars in the golden age or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's hard to live up to him, especially when you're playing next to him. I do have Wayne Primeau on this list.
Yeah.
Main Primo. I also have Marcel Hossa.
I was just going to ask if he's one of your...
I have Marcel on my list.
Yeah.
Any Marcel is the other brother.
Basically.
No, I wouldn't say Marcel Gotch over Sasha Gotch, though. I'd say Sasha over Marcel. I'd say Sasha's the other brother.
Oh,
the Gotch.
Steve Korea.
Steve Korea not on my list. I didn't go obvious. Though Steve Korea is a good one. Any Korea really is a good one, aside from Paul. Same with, like you said, the Giantas. Any Giantas, right on that list. Russ Courtnall is on my list. Jeff Courtnall won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So, and I think Jeff Courtnall also had like 1,000 games. Jeff Courtnall, unsuspecting good player. Like, he was with the Caps for so long, and he was with that line with a 50-goal score, I think, for the Caps.
Yeah.
Like, he was amazing. And then, he just kind of, they were just there. Like, afterwards, it was just kind of, they saw it. He played 20 years. He didn't play 20 years in the NHL. That's silly. But over 1,000 games, almost 800 points. One off of 800 points. 40 goals for the Caps, not 50. Damn. So close.
You know, I'd completely forgotten that Mark Messier's brother played.
Oh, Joby?
Paul.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah.
Joby's, I think, his cousin, I think.
Yep, that's his cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one that our buddy Oleg also put up. Jorgen Jansson. Kenny Jansson's brother. And most appearances for the Swedish national team in games played.
Hmm.
With like 260-something.
I always liked Kenny Jansson.
Kenny Jansson was sturdy. He was a weird-looking head. Sturdy player.
Yeah, well, that's what I kind of liked about him. He was like a skating tree trunk. Like.
Yeah, exactly. He looks like an Easter Island head on a hockey player.
Kind of does, yeah.
Old Easter Island face. I put Fedorov as my ninth one, just because it's like his father had a stutter.
How do you feel about Drew Miller? Like Drew versus Ryan? Like,
they're not brothers, are they?
Drew and Ryan?
Yeah. I think they're cousins.
Are they?
Yeah. I think the Miller brothers... I think the Miller brothers are Drew and somebody else.
Oh, I thought it was Drew and Ryan.
Is it Ryan? It could be Ryan. I could be wrong. There's so many Millers. The Millers are like the Sutters, but like different generations.
More expanded. Like, yeah. You know, there's uncles and nephews and cousins and...
Where's the Miller? That's Moeller. Yeah, it is Ryan and Drew. I think Drew's won a cup. Drew's been more successful than Ryan.
That's right.
Drew's run a cup.
Yeah.
I think Drew is a guy who is like the tools player.
Yeah.
In that he's got the shorthand. He doesn't get all the glory. Doesn't score all the goals. But does he have the grit? He has that grit.
Yeah.
Hashtag grit.
Sean Pronger.
Yeah, Sean Pronger's up there. Former Baltimore Bandit Sean Pronger.
He had a long career. It was just very...
And he had a long career everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, he touched down everywhere. Do you have his book?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was going to say I want to read it, but I do. But I get like 3 books in the making, and I just
His book is really a super quick read. Like,
oh, yeah. I got 3 books on the go now.
Yeah.
So, I can't...
I have 6 at any given time,
yeah,
so,
but
you know.
You can read faster than I can. I've been on my 3 books for like 6 months now. I haven't picked one up in at least 3.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the Pronger one is funny, but it's also a quick read. Like, it's very easy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't pontificate. He doesn't. He just tells his stories and, moves on to the next one. It's a nice book. 2 thumbs up. There's a book review for
you. There you go. Mironov's, Dmitry and Boris.
Yeah.
It was hard to determine because they both had really fine careers. Can't really say which was the...
Well, it's sort of like Frank and Pete.
Mahovlich.
Are
the Richards.
Yeah. I think Rocket is probably the better brother, but...
Same with the Niedermeyers.
But they were both... I mean, that's a fine line between who's better, really, yeah. And in some aspects. So, yeah. Well, then you have brothers like the Kostitsyns.
Yeah.
Like, they're okay, but neither one of them was.
Neither one of them was, like, they got in trouble. They're most notable for their trouble than anything else.
Yeah. Well, and then you have the brothers like Barkley, Bob, and Bill. Ow! As I try to stretch.
Yeah, Matt and Mark Cullen.
The Hunwicks. Aren't there 2 Hunwicks?
Yeah, I think. There's the
Potvins.
The Fadas. Drew and Rico. We played in a street hockey tournament up in Calgary. A bunch of our Safeway guys did it. And there was a team we played against called the Rico Fadas. And they had a big picture of Rico Fado on the front of their shirts that they've played in.
Wow.
And that's tremendous.
That is.
That's a great pull for a former Flame.
Yeah. Larry Robinson had a brother who played. But he only played one NHL game. Mm. His name was Mo.
That's a great name.
Larry and Mo Robinson.
There's two ways you can go here.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was Manny. I was going to say the Pep Boys, Manny, Moe, and Jack. But no, obviously now it's Curly.
Yeah, no, it's just Curly.
I hope Curly just became a hairstylist. But Papa, I don't want to be called Curly. Your name's Curly, boy. We have to go with this bit. My God.
Oh.
I'm surprised Federer only played 18 games.
Yeah. I would have thought his career was a little bit longer.
Esposito's fallen into that. There's no better or worse brother.
Yeah. Well, they play two different positions, so it's...
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, it's down
to... They're both Hall of Famers, too. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And they like to tell the story about how they would play hockey in the house, and then they would fight, and then their mom would smack them over the backs with a broom, like, break it up, you know? So, like the traditional Italian mom, she sounds like the sort of traditional Italian mom who, you know, I love you, but you're frustrating the hell out of me.
I hate you all.
Now sit down and have dinner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You guys are terrible, simply terrible.
There are some I always forget about, like Patrick Waugh's brother.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who are just like, oh, this guy.
Yeah, and there's some, and there's families like the Sutters, the Patricks, the Millers. Like, they keep going and going and going.
Let's go pump some kids out. Let's do this.
Yeah. I'm surprised there hasn't been a third generation Howe or a fourth generation Howe that plays. Or... wants to play.
I don't know. Their families are like also. Like,
yeah.
It's one of those things you can say, oh, this, you know, how, but, you know, did Mark have any kids that played? Did Marty have any kids that played? Like,
yeah. I'm just saying I'm surprised that there was no talk of it at some point.
I'm sure there was. It's just not as loud as it is for, like, others. Because, like, you can't, like, it pales you. As good a career as Mark had, it pales in comparison to what his dad had, too.
It's true.
So.
And, you know, maybe some families just don't want that pressure of, you know. So. I do know that one of Jacques Plante's, like, great grand nieces or grand nephews or cousins or something is playing goalie, actually.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Father sons ones too.
Father sons are yeah.
That's when you get into the. I don't know if they're spelling a name for Stanley Cup things. We can't.
The demented speak and spell. Ugh. I do not like this ad at all.
I don't know whoever came up with it should be shot.
And I think the thing that bugs me the most about it is like it's a montage type. Like they're all spelling over each other.
Trying to be dramatic.
Yeah, I'm like, listen, if you're just going to do a cup commercial where you're having players spell out their names, then just pick one player, pick two players. I just don't do 12 players in 15 seconds, like, stop.
Or do a series of it.
Yeah.
Like, just do HUL, the name is really here, overview, wherever the guy is.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Brett Hull still looks like he doesn't want a whole lot to do with his dad.
But a lot to do with the buffet. That's what I'll say here. Brett Hull loves the buffet.
Brett Hull was always a chubby kid, like,
yeah, but once
and
he got
even
playing,
said it too.
Yeah, once he got out of his playing days, came over. He probably stress ate when he was the GM of the Stars.
I wouldn't blame him.
He could still do a better job. I'm.
It's really stressful. Like
it is, but I'm also all over the fact that Jim Neal was this savant who was orchestrated.
I don't think there are any GM savants right now. Like, I really don't. People keep saying, "Oh, Bergevin's a genius." No, no, he's not.
He takes Subban away.
Here's my argument for Bergevin. He is brilliant in the short term. If it's a short term deal, he's got your back.
Right.
He's your guy. But you get to those interim deals, those bridge deals, and things start getting a little shakier. You get to those long term deals, and we're done. Like the bridge has collapsed.
If Brian McLennan can find a way to get Bookstore pick off the team, move a couple players, still keep Grubauer,
mm-hmm.
I would say he's a savant. Because he was able to get rid of, get TJ Oshie for a steal, and then get the guy back that they traded Oshie for in a deal to get Kevin Shattenkirk. It didn't mean anything in the long run, but he's able to coax other GMs into being dumb.
Into reasonable deals,
Reasonable.
Reasonable, as, you know,
as reasonable can be.
Well, but I mean, you look around the league, and people keep saying, "Oh, Stan Bowman's a genius." No, he's really not. He's in cap trouble every year.
Yeah, he handcuffs himself for the expansion draft as well.
Yep, that's not the sign of a genius GM. It's just not.
And I think when you look at GMs and like, it's such a short fuse. Like, you don't see these long tenure GMs anymore. And I think that's problematic as well.
Yeah.
In terms that, like, you look at someone like Lou Lamoriello was probably the last long-term guy.
Yes. Lombardi. Dean Lombardi was...
Before he got fired. Yeah, he was there with the Kings for a while.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you see a younger shift and a shift in ideals, too, with the whole analytic thing.
Yeah.
Which I still don't understand, but whatever. If it works for you, it works for you. But it hasn't been working. Didn't work for the Panthers this year.
Nope.
If, you know, that showed that their analytics... Is it a pox on analytics? That's a kick in the face to analytics. I don't think it means... Oh, all analytics are bad.
No.
But it means if you focus solely on that, you're going to get screwed, which I think it's going to happen in Arizona, too.
If you're a hammer, everything that looks like a nail is, you know, like...
Yeah.
It's... You have one solution to every problem. It's not...
Sure.
You can't... It doesn't work.
No. Like, the fact of the matter is that you look at where John Shocker's in, I think he's just barely legal to drink. And his whole thing is analytics, too, which is great. But, I mean, you got to get, like, I think the next prodigy and the next kid who's going to be a savant is Kyle Dubas.
Probably.
If he ever gets out of Toronto.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be that guy in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at it, it's hard to say him getting out of underneath the thumb of Lou.
Yep.
And he's not going to give that free to breathe. And he's the guy who combines analytics and puts forth, you know, the eye test and knows hockey skill in a way that's not detrimental to the team. Like, he's able to balance it. And he's also of that young variety. I don't even think he's 30. So.
No, he was like 27 or 28 when they hired him.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a situation where if he's able to get out there, he could, like, no wonder Colorado wanted him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just turned 30.
He understands the fact that statistics are nice, but so is chemistry. You know, like, he understands that it's a blend of all of these factors and not just analytics and not just the eye test and, you know, it's not just grit. And it'd be nice to have more GMs like him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hilarious when people were like, oh, he's you know, they're going to groom him to succeed Lamoriello. No, Lamoriello has never, ever once groomed a successor.
No. You could tell that in New Jersey when they got a whole new team in there.
Mm-hmm.
So. Now, and I don't think you should expect Lou to do that.
No.
Either. Like.
Well, Lou is good, but he's, I don't know. I feel like he's a little bit past his sell-by date.
Yes. Oh.
Not like completely expired, but.
But at the same time, a lot of people said that about Rutherford, too. And Rutherford won a Stanley Cup last year.
Yeah.
And he's on the verge of this year.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of team and philosophy, you know, the whole fit thing, but, yeah.
There's a Shanna plan in place. I still think that the Leafs have, if they keep all their parts here, 5 years, they could win it. They could be in cup contention, like serious cup contention.
Yeah, within 5 years.
Yeah.
It's not
like the Oilers where they're on year 7 of a 5-year plan and they finally made the playoffs.
Or the Canucks.
Or the Canucks who are...
I almost feel bad for the Canucks fans because their GMs have just been so blatantly.
You want to know a fun story that I heard today?
Okay.
Or yesterday. I read it online, so it must be true. Are the Canucks willing to make a big splash if it means giving up a prospect like Brock Besser? Like, he's 6 games into his tenure, if that.
Yeah.
And you're already thinking about trading him?
Yeah. Well, and their GM has been saying some strange things lately, too.
Jim Benning sucks.
So,
Let's cut it out here. Jim Benning sucks.
Yeah.
Like, he was not ideal for that. I refuse to believe Trevor Linden's ideal for the president's job at the Canucks.
Yeah, no. I think one of the reasons why they hired Trevor Linden is A, he's a company guy, and B, he's able to put a good face on things. Like, he's that.
He's Mr. Canuck. He's Mr.
Yeah, exactly. Canuck. And so you want to believe him and you want to trust him, and, you know, he's not the best at giving press conferences right now, but he's getting better. So he's that PR face. I think that's what they want.
I wouldn't say he's a company guy because he's the one who went against the NHLPA to get that.
No, I meant he's a Canucks company guy, not like NHL company. Like, he's Canucks, Mr.
Well, he goes again. Like, he broke the NHLPA in terms, right? Like, he went through like 6 directors in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that's something we have to get. We should get into
at some point. Yeah.
That whole aftermath of the 2004 and the NHLPA is just.
It's gotten very paranoid since then, like with the emails and the.
Well, that's the NHL. I mean, yeah. But the Ted Saskin reign, and then the Paul Kelly reign. Paul Kelly leaves the like collegehockey.com or whatever the hell it was, that recruiting thing to promote college hockey, and like 6 weeks on the job, he's fired. Oh God, that's a fun time. But that's going to be for another show because our show's come to a close this week.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to tell the donut story.
Tell the donut story. We got a donut story to tell you because it was National Donut Day like 2 days ago. So
yeah, well, I was thinking about this story because I've been too busy at work to really post a lot of stuff on my Twitter, so that's why there's been a lot of radio silence. But so Pat Burns, and this is the '93 playoffs. So this would be Pat Burns and Barry Melrose, the Leafs Kings series. Barry Melrose is taking shots at Pat Burns, like, you know, you're fat, and, you know, like, pulling out his cheeks and doing the grade school type crap that Barry Melrose does.
Right.
And so he's calling him the fat man and all these things, and, you know, and making a big deal of him being a cop and you should have a donut and whatever. So when the team is in LA, Pat Burns would go for a walk along the beach near the hotel and whatever, and LA fans were kept thinking it would be hilarious to just deliver donuts to the team hotel, to Pat Burns' hotel. So he's got like dozens and dozens of donuts that are, you know, piling up, and he's just giving them away. He doesn't really like donuts. So every morning he would take them out. He would carry like the boxes of donuts out along the beach and just hand them out to homeless people and people he met along the way on the beach. So these LA fans thought they were taunting him, and it was actually giving him, like, he loved it because it was a way for him to, like, give back when he went out for his walks and whatever in the morning. So, yeah. The point is, sometimes fans, you're not as clever as you think you are.
Mm-hmm. Shocking.
Yeah. But, yeah, he said they were just, like, 3-4 dozen donuts at any given point. So, I mean, just, they fixated on the fact that he was a former cop and decided it would be fun to harass him with donuts. I don't understand.
You should do that with most cops. It's that or bacon.
Well, I guess.
I get it. Bacon, oink, oink, yeah. Pig, me, huh?
I don't think it's all that harassing, per se. It's just juvenile, but whatever. So anyway, there's a donut story for you. Oh, and there's, you know, Kaharski. The whole, you know, have another donut thing. After that happened, someone contacted him with an offer to go into business with the donut store, like a sort of like a Tim Hortons or a Dim, like that sort of thing. And he turned it down, like his own donut store that'd be named Kaharski's or whatever, like Tim Hortons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had this plan, and, you know, they brought it to him, and he said, no thanks, I don't like donuts. And so he turned down what could have been like this lucrative business because he didn't actually like donuts.
Well, you gotta, like, you gotta believe in your product. That's the number one part of business. If you don't believe in your product, then why would you take part in it? All right, so there we go. Donuts. Yeah. Donuts go nuts.
And now I'm hungry.
All right, well, we gotta go shopping anyway. Feed the house. All right, where can they find you despite the radio silence?
NHL History. It'll get better this week, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Yep, and then we're a couple weeks removed from draft.
Yeah.
So, hooray.
So I'll tell stories about trading draft picks for floor fans. Or, the box fans. Sorry, no. Yeah, box fans.
Yeah, box fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Floor fans. I'm like, oh, they got to take out
floor fans. Like, that's not right. The right word.
That's not terminology.
Yeah.
All right. You can find me at Scotty Waz, Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. It's full of the facts. Face Off Hockey Show you can find on faceoffhockeyshow.com every Wednesday on YouTube as well at FOHS Broadcast is our username there. At SDR Strong Bubble is the Twitter for this if you want to give us some history questions. Mm-hmm. And then ask us about, like, the bromance between somebody else and somebody else. I don't care. Stupid fans.
We gotta have our fun.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, if the NHL won't be any fun, then we gotta find our own.
Yeah, but don't ask me about the weirdest thing in the relationship. That's kind of I don't give a shit about the Penguins' relationship or any player's relationship for that
matter. You know, when I dig into, like, player factoids and stuff, I try not to dig too far. Because it's not my business about your personal life for the most part, you know? So that's my philosophy. Like, I'll dig, but I won't dig too far into personal anecdotes or personal tidbits. So
snap it to a Slim Jim. Dig it. That's Jim. Yeah. I'm just got to take care of yourself and someone else has been inside a shrimp bubble. On the Face of Hockey Show Media Faction. Bye, everybody.